America's love affair with ungainly vehicles. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The stock market is down again today, with some market participants feeling betrayed by another crude oil rally soon erased. In New York, oil is down 1.5% to about $44 a barrel. If you don't like these stock prices, can I interest you in low interest rates? The 10-year Treasury yield pushed below 1.8% this morning. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis.
The problem with the low interest rates is that it's hugely penalizing any kind of growth here in the United States. We have a major segment of the investing community that needs higher interest rates, and there's a good evidence for why interest rates should be higher. But it's a huge penalty on retirees. You know, they depend upon certificates of deposits and bonds for investments. Right now, many retirees have moved over to the stock market and are paying ridiculous prices for things like utilities, which are trading at all-time highs. That's speculation. Then you have the problem with small business lending. They can't get loans at this point in time because there's no risk premium for the banks to lend the money to them. We need higher rates for it. So those are two key things why we're looking at a no-growth situation, because we have extraordinarily low interest rates.
Julie, thank you. Car and truck sales for April are starting to come out this morning. U.S. sales for Fiat Chrysler went up 6% last month, the best in a decade. That is a lot of Jeeps and Ram pickups, but sedan sales, that is to say cars, were down. Dave Sullivan is Detroit-based industry analyst for Auto Pacific.
Everybody, with the exception of Volkswagen, seems to be doing fairly well. But the crossover boom is really helping a lot of these automakers out. The average age of a vehicle is still over 11 years old. With low fuel prices, people are driving more. Car is going to wear out faster, so time to replace it.
You mentioned the crossovers, the modern station wagon, that vehicle that sits somewhere between car or SUV and can't quite decide.
The Europeans figured it out a long time ago. They've been driving hatchbacks for a long time, and Americans shunned hatchbacks, but jack up that suspension a few inches and tint the windows and add a beefier-looking front bumper, and Americans will buy it.
That said, luxury car maker BMW today issued a downbeat forecast for itself. It's spending a lot of money researching autonomous and electric cars, and Mercedes sales have passed BMW in the fast lane. Now to the tension between Airbnb-type short-term rentals for visitors versus affordable housing for residents. Today, the capital of Germany. Amid a rental housing crunch, Berlin authorities have banned property owners from offering vacation rentals, with few exceptions. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
Eliza Garrison has been spending the past year in Berlin. She's on sabbatical from Middlebury College, and her sisters are going to visit next month. They had a place all lined up through Airbnb. But last week, the owner abruptly canceled her sister's reservation.
I was just sort of crossing my fingers that they wouldn't be affected, but indeed they were.
Garrison blames the new restrictions on vacation rental properties in Berlin. Owners could face fines exceeding $100,000 for leasing them out.
This is not something which is good for a city which basically has an income very much related to tourism.
Stefan Lamarais runs a rental management company called Berlin Lofts. He's awaiting rulings on lawsuits he's filed over the restrictions. And until then, he'll take the risk of continuing to rent vacation properties.
I'm facing some fines, but if I close down the whole business and sack all my employees, I cannot start over again.
Under the law, property owners can still rent out rooms in their Berlin homes to tourists, but not entire apartments. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
More in our gastronomics series this morning. There's government data suggesting that cooking jobs will grow 12% in the next decade. Education may be your key. Bill Zeeble with KERA in Dallas takes us to a chef class in El Centro Community College in Dallas, Texas, a state where those jobs could grow 22% in the next 10 years.
It's time to begin El Centro's afternoon class.
You guys ever eat cold soup?
Instructor Jim Nifong's students range in age from their early 20s to retirement.
Like I mentioned yesterday, the big deal on cold soups, you're going to need to adjust your seasoning. Because when it's cold, you know, the flavors aren't popping out like they will when it's hot.
Chef Nifong, a CIA graduate, that's the Culinary Institute of America, says what's hot these days are chef and restaurant jobs.
There's a huge need out there. If you look outside my door here, we have our job board We have currently have 6 jobs for every student.
23-year-old Charlotte Zuber is one of those school's 400 students. Thanks in part to her enrollment here, she's in demand in different sections of a trendy downtown restaurant.
I really love the fast-paced environment of, like, the restaurant industry and all the pressure. It's really fun for me, so the adrenaline.
That helps because chef jobs come with buying pressures, standing for hours, and handling picky customers. But if you love it and learn it, it can pay off, says Ron Ruggles. He writes for the nation's restaurant news.
I don't think anybody going into the food service in the back of the house should expect to become a multimillionaire. But, I mean, the solid, good wage can get people by quite well.
Back in class, Zuber feels like she's only getting by. Her restaurant job pays $9 an hour, the same, she says, as the dishwasher. Nifong says she's worth more.
So you know prep, you know production, you know pastry, you haven't got a raise? You need a raise, young lady, because you know all this stuff.
Nifong says his graduates can make $30,000 as cooks, $80,000 as sous chefs, and more than $100,000 as an executive chef. In Dallas, I'm Bill Zeeble for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.